Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Prayer can be difficult. The last two men alive in a World War I trench were an officer and a private. The enemy was descending upon them. There was no way of escape. And so the officer says to the private, Jones, there's only one thing you should do, pray. But Jones replies, Sir, I don't know how to pray. I only know one prayer. The officer said, I'm not going to tell you again. Do it now, pray. All right, sir. And so Private Jones clasps his hands together and closes his eyes and prays, Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful. Prayer can be difficult. It's not just for the Private Joneses. It's difficult for many Christians. We're too busy, too stressed, too distracted. We've got so much going on in our minds. Often we're reluctant to pray. We struggle with apathy. Prayer can be difficult for many people. And yet, if you're a Christian, there is nothing more essential than to pray. Robert Murray McShane once said, when someone is alone on their knees before God, that they are and that alone. In other words, there is nothing more vital than who we are, to who we are and what we do than prayer. Now, prayer is important for at least three reasons. First, you cannot know God except through prayer. For any relationship to exist, communication is vital. There's a difference between knowing about God and actually knowing God. There's a difference between knowing something about God and knowing Him in a deep and personal way. Prayer is communication. It's the way we enjoy intimacy with God. But secondly, you cannot know yourself except through prayer. If we are creatures made by God, then the way we know ourselves is to be connected to that God, to know His mind, His purposes, His priorities for us. To understand God, in many respects, is to understand yourself. If you're disconnected from your Creator, then there is only a limited amount that you can know about yourself. It's only through prayer that you can get a real sense of who you are. And thirdly, you cannot know real peace except through prayer. Our world conditions us to expect comfort and security and perfect fulfillment. And materially speaking, we've never had it so good. And yet, we live in this age of anxiety. All around us, people are anxious, uncertain, fearful, dissatisfied. And yet the Bible tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything pray. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts. Maybe you've felt that deep sense of perspective and calm when you've just spent even 10 minutes in focused prayer, more so than getting calm from Netflix or shopping or hours in a restaurant. Prayer is the most important thing we can do, to know God, to know yourself, to have peace. So if it's the key for everything, how do we do it? Well, the Lord's Prayer is Jesus' way of answering this for his disciples. It's a masterclass in prayer from the Lord of Prayer. Jesus himself was familiar with the realities of life. He knew what it was to be tired, to be disappointed, to be burdened down by the responsibilities of life. But he also knew how incredibly valuable prayer was. The Gospels speak repeatedly about how Jesus prayed. He prayed in public, he prayed alone, over and over and over again. And the Lord's Prayer is probably the set of words that has been most repeated in human history. Almost certainly, there is no set of words that has been more frequently repeated by people. And it's beautifully simplistic and spiritually stunning, because here, compressed and summarized, is the breadth of Scripture. There, you can go amplifying these particular phrases and capturing what the Bible teaches about God's priorities and his purposes for humanity, meditating on different parts of the Bible and on different parts of life. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be thinking about the Lord's Prayer by looking at each of these phrases, beginning today with that first phrase, Our Father in Heaven. And so we'll see two things, the basis of prayer and the manner of prayer. Jesus begins by teaching us the basis of prayer. The first thing we need to know is that we pray to our Father in Heaven. Now, the original word that Jesus uses here for Father is the Aramaic word Abba. It's a term of respectful intimacy used in Jewish families. It's more respectful than daddy, but it's more intimate than father. It's like dad. And Jesus tells us to begin our prayers by addressing the transcendent creator, the omniscient ruler, the terrifying judge of the universe as dad. Straight away here from the very beginning, we get something intensely powerful and reassuring. Before we say anything, we remind ourselves about the one to whom we are speaking. We are addressing the God of the universe as dad, as our father. Now, of any relationship that you have, the father-child relationship is the most unconditional. It's even more unconditional than the relationship between a husband and a wife. If a five-year-old daughter wakes up her father at 3 o'clock in the morning and says to him, Daddy, could you get me a drink of water? What's the dad going to do? Well, he's going to go up and get his five-year-old daughter that drink. But if his wife tries the same thing, she elbows him and says at 3 o'clock in the morning, hey, can you get me a drink of water? What's he going to say? Well, he's probably going to say, sweetie, can't you get it yourself? The father-child relationship is the most unconditional of relationships. There's nothing that the child can do to earn a place in that relationship. The child doesn't sit an interview. They don't pass a series of tests. It's not based on performance. It's the most unconditional of relationships, to have free access. And that's what we have with God. When we say Father, we remind ourselves of the relationship that we have to the God of the universe. We have free access. I remember the story about a Yankee soldier during the American Civil War. He tried to get leave from his company so that he could visit his parents who were dying. But that permission wasn't forthcoming from his superiors. And so he happened to be in the Washington area and thought, maybe if I go directly to the top, directly to the White House, I can get that permission. But understandably, and not surprisingly, it was impossible for him to see the president. So he leaves despondently and goes off to a nearby park and weeps bitterly. A boy happens to walk by and asks him, why is he crying? And the man tells the boy this story. After a while, the boy says, come, follow me. They leave the park, walk back towards the White House, go through the gate, through the front door, up the stairs, down through some corridors, and straight into the presidential office. Abraham looks up from his desks and says, what can I do for you, Tad? And Tad replies, Father, there's a man here who would like to speak with you. You know, that's exactly the type of access that you and I have to the God of the universe. Lots of people pray. Prayer is common amongst the world religions. Even those people who wouldn't ordinarily call themselves spiritual or religious would on occasions pray when hard pressed. But here, Jesus invites us into a relationship. He invites us into a relationship with His Father as our Father. And the New Testament repeatedly says that we only have access to God through Jesus Christ. And so Romans 5 verse 1 tells us, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." Now, ordinarily, you and I cannot have access to God. I cannot have access on my own with God because of all the ways in which I try to push God to the sidelines of my life, that I reject Him, disobey Him. I'm constantly putting my own priorities, my own agenda ahead of Him. You know, if God sees and knows everything, then that means nothing is hidden from His sight. If there was a documentary made about my life where everything I said, everything I did was recorded 24/7, then nothing would be hidden. Not even those things I thought no one else would know. Those things God would see. And you know, I don't even live consistently by my own standards, let alone God's standards. So how can I stand in the holy and pure presence of God? How can I have access to Him? You know, there was one time when Jesus prayed, amongst all the other times He prayed, where He didn't address God as Father. On the cross, He didn't cry out to God as Father. He cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" What was happening? Well, on the cross, Jesus was losing access to the Father. He was thrown out of the family, so to speak. He was rejected by His eternal and heavenly Father so that one day we wouldn't have to be. He was taking everything upon Himself that we deserved. Now, when you come to believe in Jesus and you make Him your Lord and Savior, Jesus, the eternal Son of God, gives you access, the same access to the Father that He has. It's like He's saying, "Father, there is someone here who would like to speak with You." But it's even more than that. When you come into a relationship with Jesus, you are adopted by God as your Father, given all the privileges of membership in His family. A room prepared for you in His house, an eternal inheritance, wonderful intimacy. This Heavenly Father knows you completely and loves you unconditionally. Now, being able to pray to God, having access to Him, doesn't come simply because we've mastered some technique. It doesn't come because we've walked along some mystical path of enlightenment. It's not because we've earned it. Like we climb the promotion ladder at work and you do all the hard things and finally you get into the room where all the decisions are made, where all the important people are, the CEO. No, you haven't earned it. Jesus invites you in. But it cuts the other way, doesn't it? You know, sometimes we're reluctant to pray because our heart says, "I don't feel like a child of God. I don't feel like I belong. I deserve it. I don't act like I'm a child of God. I deserve to be thrown out." And so we don't pray. Remind yourself, begin your prayers as Jesus begins by saying, "Our Father." Drill it in that you are loved unconditionally by your Heavenly Father. So Jesus teaches us about the basis of prayer, but secondly, He teaches us about the manner of prayer. If we pray to God, who's our Father in heaven, then it transforms how we pray. It radically affects our motives. Now, you may have noticed in this passage, which is from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, that He talks about two wrong motives as we pray. The first wrong motive is a mistake that religious people make. It's to pray to the wrong audience. And so in verse 5, Jesus says, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." Now, in Jesus' days, prayer would be led by a man standing in the front of the synagogue. And this practice could easily descend into a performance. And often during religious festivals, a trumpet would sound from the temple. And it was common for people to stop what they were doing and go towards the temple in order to pray. But it was also common for Pharisees to stop what they were doing and stand on the street corners and pray towards the temple so that everyone could see. It was a display of self-conscious piety to gain the attention and admiration of the people around them. Now, you and I live in different times, but our hearts are no different. You know, when we pray with others around us, often our prayer can become a performance. We search for the eloquent words. We look for the right turn of phrase. We reach for the profound idea, the insight, the covert teaching. It all of a sudden becomes about us. We pray for our own benefit, to send a message to others or to win their quiet admiration. But Jesus says, your eyes are on the wrong audience. And so he tells us in verse 6, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." We often do things to be seen by others, but Jesus tells us, ultimately, you are seen by God. If God really is our loving Heavenly Father, then everything we think or say or do is under His loving and watching gaze. Everything comes to His attention and mind. That means regardless of whoever is around you, you live before the audience of one. You live before God. And so why then would you be so fixated upon what other people around you think? Why would you be so besotted about getting their approval? Why would you be so concerned about the subjects of the kingdom when you have the audience of the King? Now think about how this reality should affect your life. If you pray to God as your Father, that means you're an heir. You're being promised an eternal inheritance. That means that, you know, really it doesn't matter what people think about you. It doesn't matter really what the boss thinks about you. It doesn't matter if someone tries to take down your reputation. In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really even matter if you get a chronic illness. Let me put it this way. If you have $1 billion in the bank and someone picks your pocket of $100, do you get stressed out? No, of course you shouldn't. And yet some of us do. When somebody criticizes you or tries to bring you down, you melt away. We become obsessed with climbing up the ladder of public opinion with those around us. We become enamored and constantly worried by what people think about you. And in other words, you're looking to the wrong audience. You've forgotten that you're a child of God, that you've got an audience with the King. If the first mistake is to pray to the wrong audience, the second mistake is to pray forgetting that God loves you. And so verse 7, "And when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." Often when people pray, they try to bend God's ear. We try to force God to listen. We somehow think that the length of our argument will convince God to answer our prayers. And it's a common habit. Think of the people around the world praying on their mats, the different religions who observe that practice, or people who go back and forth praying at a wailing wall, or spinning a prayer wheel, or burning incense, or those who make their appeals to saints, who finger these special beads or light candles. These are all rituals, all practices and ceremonies, special words, maybe with good intention, but with the background assumption about God, that God might be too shallow enough that I can actually manipulate him with my words, that God is not wise enough that he needs my advice, that God is not caring enough that I must overcome his reluctance to listen to me by persisting in prayer. But it's like Jesus saying, don't be like those people. Don't think that you can nag God into getting what you want. Don't think you have to fill God in about every situation like he doesn't know. You have a Father in heaven who knows exactly what you need before you do. You have a Father in heaven who is more committed to your good than you are. Now, of course, Jesus isn't saying that we should only pray for short periods. He'll say elsewhere in the Gospels to his disciples that we should persist in prayer. The Apostle Paul says we should be constantly praying. But the background assumption is that sometimes we can be forgetful in prayer. When we extract what we want from God in prayer, we forget that God is always working for our good, that he loves us. Look, when we pray, our Father, we're also saying, Father, I know that you're listening to me all the time. I know that you're going to answer my prayer even when I can't quite see what that answer is. If you're a parent, you know this. Your heart aches to provide for the good of your child. If your child asks for something and you can't give them what they need and they begin to cry, it feels like something within you is dying. And you won't rest until you try to figure out how you can provide what your child needs. Why would it therefore be any different with God? Would God not be able to give us what is for our good, what we need? And so when we pray, our Father, we pray with total confidence, knowing that God is our Father, we are his children, and he will provide for our good according to his purposes, and even though you don't know exactly how he'll answer your prayers. Now, what does this look like in practice? Rebecca was late one morning on her way to work. It takes her at least 40 minutes on the bus to get to Admiralty, and she was a bit stressed out because she couldn't get a seat on the bus and she had to stand, and she'd forgotten her phone at home. And so she couldn't exactly do what she normally does. She couldn't check her email. She couldn't check TikTok. And so as she's standing there in the bus holding on to the handrail, she begins to pray, praying that prayer, the Lord's Prayer that she'd been taught only a few years ago when she'd become a Christian. And as she begins to pray, saying, Our Father in heaven, she pauses, thinking about every single word. She says, Dear Heavenly Dad, thank you that you love me. Thank you that I can call you my Father. Thank you that you sent Jesus to me and that through him I'm adopted into your family. Thank you that you've promised me an eternal home. And thank you that you listen to me, even though I'm not very faithful or constant in prayer. And Lord, I pray for my community at church. Thank you that we're a family. I pray for the people in my group. I pray for Cindy, whose mum has cancer. And I pray that today at work, you might help me to do my job well, that I can honour you. And help me to persevere with Gavin because he's giving me a hard time. And help me to be able to share Jesus with Wendy because she seems interested. Then after 25 minutes or so, Rebecca got distracted. Someone jostled into her and she stopped praying. But she looked at her watch and she thought to herself, that felt good. And it wasn't so hard. I'll do that again. Maybe I'll do that every morning. We can pray constantly, joyfully, eagerly, confidently, all because we have a Father in heaven who delights to listen to us and who loves us. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that you give us this incredible gift of prayer, that you delight to listen to us, and that we can call you our Father because of what your Son Jesus has done for us on the cross. Lord, thank you that we're adopted into your family, that we have the full rights and privileges of membership, that we have a heavenly home prepared for us, and that you constantly provide for our good. Forgive our reluctance to pray, how we constantly get besotted, distracted by the demands of this world, and we forget this incredible resource, this gift that you've given us. Lord, help us to be people marked with prayer in every season. Guide us by your Spirit, Lord, because we need your help, we pray. Amen.